Last week, we began a voyage toward a commitment to prayer as a body. It is the goal of this series and this moment, this season, for us to grow into a church so saturated in prayer that it exudes our being and missional action in the community and in the world. If you were here last week and participated in a practice of prayer last week, you should have been praying for someone. I've kept my person with me all week. Have mentioned that person throughout the day, several times throughout the day, all last week, and will continue to do that. How many people here stay true to that commitment to pray for the person on your card last week? If you didn't, don't worry, you have a chance to make it up, because I'm going to ask you for the upcoming week to continue to pray for that person. That person that's on your card is depending on you to call on the name of the Lord on their behalf. And so continue to keep that person in mind and pray for that person constantly throughout the week. Now, collectively, I am calling for us as a church to envision prayer as a centerpiece of our ministry to one another and to the world. Like the early church in Acts, who held prayer as its primary resource, I pray that we will make or give prayer the place in this church that it deserves. As such, I hope that prayer becomes a persistent and prevalent practice in your life. It's one thing to call the church to a commitment to communal prayer, but I'm hoping that you and I as individuals will see the need and grow a passion for prayer in our lives, that we would dare not start our days without prayer, or end our days without prayer, or throughout the day throw in prayer, and so that our lives as individuals become saturated in prayer. So pray often and pray regularly. I put together a week prayer guide. If you're not used to a practice of prayer and doing something regularly, I want to help you. So in the back on the stand back there, there's a guide that starts tomorrow and takes you through Saturday, and it's just some different readings and some different thoughts. Would be a good idea to get a notebook or several sheets of paper so that you can write down and record some of your reflections. There's some questions and some devotional ideas to help lead you through that time. I also hope that prayer becomes the first item on any ministry agenda. Not how much money we have to spend, not who's the leader, not what's our scope. I hope that the very first item of any ministry is prayer. That not just meetings that we always tend to just traditionally book in our meetings with, start with a prayer, end with a prayer. I want us to move from that understanding of bookending meetings to understanding that our meeting is nothing without an engagement of the Holy One through prayer. I also hope that prayer becomes a practice that binds brother to brother, sister to sister, and family to family. We want to be a united voice and a united community that will be done through prayer. That's what we learn with the early church. The text we looked at last week in Acts chapter 4, when they prayed for boldness, they also prayed that as a community they would stay united. And I hope that, as we read last week, that our prayers would shake the very foundations of this church. Not just the building, and shaking the building is fine, but shake the very foundation of our being, our understanding, and of who we are. It's time for a shake-up. I want to direct your attention to the book of James. James in the New Testament, chapter 1. I want to read a few verses, several verses from James chapter 1. As we consider envisioning prayer, it's time to ask. James chapter 1, starting at the very beginning, verse number 2. The text says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." I don't know about your children, your kids, if you have kids, but my kids are not ashamed to ask for things. The older they get, they do start to understand that their mom and dad, their incomes are subject to creditors. But you have to give them credit. They know to ask, even if it's outside the reach of reality. There's something to take away and learn from our children. They know who to go to ask. Children are very wise and smart in terms of getting something, and they're able to identify, well, you know, last time I asked mom about this, it didn't turn out too well, so this time I'll go ask dad. Y'all know what I'm saying? Kids know, and I see some of y'all kids laughing over there because y'all know how to play mom versus dad and dad versus mom. Y'all know that game. But in this regard, I'm not going to give you grief for it. I'm going to give you credit. You know who to get to. Also, kids, they ask for things that are beyond their capability to do themselves. They recognize that they can't afford something, or they can't reach something, or they can't. They may try, but they understand at some point they can't, and so they ask someone else. Also, kids are not easily deterred from asking. Even if it's repetitive, even if their parents have said, "I heard you the first 400 times," they continue to ask. They're persistent about their asking, even if it sounds ridiculous. There's some things we can learn from our kids. I mean, take, for instance, these actual prayers offered by kids. Here's someone that says, "Dear God, I love Christmas and Easter. Could you please put another holiday in the middle? There's nothing good in there now." I mean, you got to give them credit for asking, right? Well, how about this person? "Dear God, when my mom makes leftovers, do I have to pray for the food again?" And how about this? "Dear God, could you please change the taste of asparagus? It's gross." Again, honest. And now, this next one. This is my favorite. "Dear God, I heard the moon was made of cheese. Tonight, half of it's missing. Did you get hungry and cut the cheese?" I love it. Kids ask. And there is something inspirational about the honesty and courage that kids display when it comes to prayer and asking things. And kids don't hold back. They have been taught that God is powerful and is a grantor of blessing when we request those blessings. I wonder if it's our age and experience that causes us to navigate away from that truth. That's something that we teach our kids from very little, when we teach them to pray, to ask God anything, to be honest and to go to them with their request. Or we don't ask God as adults because we just don't believe God. Or we don't ask God because we are afraid of God. Or if we don't ask God because we asked before and we didn't get the answer or response we wanted. Or if we don't ask God because we think God is consumed with other people or other situations and he doesn't have the time to hear what I'm asking or he doesn't have time to address what's going on in my life. You know, I don't want to bother God with my stuff. There are people who are going through much deeper stuff than I'm going through. And I mean, I got a splinter in my foot. I'm not going to ask him to help me get this splinter out of my foot. There's people who are dealing with cancer and so I'm not going to bother him with that pettiness. I wonder if we will settle with staying in a painful situation, a harmful circumstance, an unhealthy relationship, or a dead-end context because we don't ask. Brother James said, "You don't have because you don't ask." Later in this letter, James writes this in James chapter 4. He says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure." Is James saying that relational health in the body is a function of us asking God for relational health? I say yes. Is James saying that as disciples of Christ, we need to stop beating around the bush and just ask? I say yes. Does this encouragement go beyond relationships and include all types of requests? I say yes. I say that as individuals, if you don't have wisdom, ask for it. If you don't have good relationships, ask for it. If you don't have a clue, ask for it. If you lack faith, ask for it. If you lack motivation, ask for it. If you lack a job, ask for it. If you need healing, ask for it. If you need correction, ask for it. I say that as a church community, if we want growth in the church, ask for it. If we want expanded opportunities to serve, ask for it. If we want young folks to become passionate followers of Christ, ask for it. If we want increased resources to pay off debt so that we can do more ministry, church, let's ask for it. If we want to be a missional community where God lives and works and demonstrates his power, we need to join hands together. We need to join our hearts together. We need to lift our hands and our eyes to the throne of heaven and ask for it. Perhaps it's time to simply ask. Since Brother James says you don't have because you don't ask, this was the practice of Paul when it came to his ministry to different churches. For example, hear the words he wrote to the churches in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse number 9, Paul says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to the glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in His inheritance of the holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Paul says we have not stopped praying, and we have asked God to reveal to you, to give you a knowledge of His will through all wisdom. Paul understood that there is power in asking. Yes, there is some importance in teaching. Yes, there is some importance in training. Yes, there is some importance in going to these places and sharing some things with these folks, but none of that compares to the power when we ask God for His involvement. You want something to happen in your life? Ask for it. You don't have because you don't ask. Paul shares that he and his team have never stopped praying and asking God to fill those churches with a knowledge of God's will for them and their ministry to the world. Reynoldsburg, we have no time to stop asking God for understanding, or asking Him for resources, or asking Him for energy, or asking Him for opportunities. To be saturated in prayer is to never stop asking God. The prayers we pray are a reflection of our belief, faith, hope, and trust in God. So then, we pray. We pray like the community of the returning exiles who spent quarters of days on their feet, on their knees, heads buried in the ground, praying. We pray like the persistent widow who would not give up until she received an answer, until she received justice. She just kept after it and after it and after it and after it. And so we pray like the early church, who spent time together daily fellowshipping and praying together. And we pray like Paul, who believed God was able to do immeasurably more than all he could ask or imagine. And we pray like Jesus, who knew it was God's plan for him to die, but he asked anyway for God to provide another way. And the prayers we pray do not reflect how good we are, or how special we are, or how eloquent we are, or how good prayers we are, or how perfect we are, or how skilled we are. The prayers we pray reflect how good God is, how perfect God is, how attentive God is, how eager God is to give, how generous God is, how loving God is, how compassionate God is, how gracious God is, how merciful God is. Church, it's time to ask. There is so much that collectively we have dreamed and envisioned and hoped for, and in so many situations and so many areas and so many contexts, and we want to do so much, and that's all good. It's time to ask God for it. It's time to ask God for it, and not to ask God with a doubt. Okay, I'll ask. No, but to ask in faith. I have to be honest with you. Chapter 1 of James is a troubling passage for me. It's troubling because it seems to suggest that the reason that things aren't happening, or the things that I ask for aren't given, is because I have some doubt. And you know what? As much as that passage troubles me, I've never put that passage to the test. So I'm asking us as a church, put that passage to the test. That we begin to ask. We begin to ask like kids ask their parents over and over and over and over. And don't think that God is like an agitated parent. You know how we get when we, you know, I heard you. I'm going to get to you. I know. Let's not think of God in those terms, but let's think of God in terms of one who says, continue to ask me. I'm a giving God. I'm a generous God. Continue to ask. There's nothing that you can say, nothing that you can do. There's no amount of request that will tire me out. I can handle it. I can do things bigger and greater than your greatest imagination. Maybe it's time, church, for us to struggle with that passage, but put it to the test. What's going on in your life? What's troubling in your life? What is something in your life that just won't move? I'm saying put James to the test and ask. Where has God positioned us as a church where we think, man, we can't get it. We don't have the budget. We don't have the manpower or the woman power. We don't have the skills. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the standing. I think it's time we put that text to the test. And we ask that we put our faith to the test. And we ask. And we ask in a way that we know that God is going to move in our favor. That's my challenge to you this week, to pray persistently, to pray regularly, to pray constantly. Again, take advantage of all the resources that you have at your fingertips. You know, use a simple guide to help you establish a regular time of prayer. Use your brothers and sisters who pray regularly to say, hey, could you start praying with me regularly? Because I struggle with praying regularly. Could you help me to or remind me, or just send me a text, say, hey, did you pray today? Did you spend some time with God today? Let's put the word of God to the test, and let's ask. Let's ask for the little things. Let's ask for the regular things. Let's ask for the ordinary things. Let's ask that God will make sure that we all get home safe. Let's also ask for the big things, the things that we think that we can't accomplish because we're too small, or we're too insignificant, or we don't have enough money, or we don't have enough resources. Let's ask for those big things, and let's ask in faith. Is that all right, church? Are you with me there a little bit? Can we do that together? If we do that together, I wonder what would happen. I'm just trying to envision what would happen when we really take prayer seriously. Let me tell you why I'm so fired up about prayer. There are several reasons, but one in particular. I remember being in a class on leadership, and we were talking about this topic of prayer. And there were about 25 or so of us in this class. And the teacher started off the discussion by saying, do you all believe in the power of prayer? And everybody just enthusiastically said, oh, yeah, absolutely. And then we began to talk about it, and we began to discuss our practice of prayer. And by the end of the discussion, many of us had to take some looks at selves and do some self-evaluations. And what we really discovered is that we really don't believe in prayer the way we say we believe in prayer. Now, maybe that's, I'm the only one that affected. Maybe I'm the only one in here today. Like, some of y'all might say, Dion, you're just off your rocker, dude. This is not me. I believe in prayer. If that's you, I need you to help me by asking. I need you to help me by being incredibly faithful and visible with your prayer life, to help me to believe in the prayers that I pray. When I pray for Greg Gaines to be healed of cancer, I believe that God was going to heal him of cancer. When I believe, as I pray right now, that people are going to find Sierra Shields safe, I believe that they're going to find her safe. I know it sounds bad. I know it sounds ominous. I know it sounds doubtful. But church, I'm asking in faith. And I want us to become a church that asks things in faith. By the end of 2016, after a period of 300 and some days of praying together in faith, I can't wait to see what happens. Let's pray. God of all creation, you have created the heavens and the earth and the seas and the mountains. You've done some powerful and amazing things. And God, you have demonstrated over just years and years and years that you have the ability to do things that we just simply can't fathom. We just don't understand. Can't understand it. Can't make sense of it. God, I pray that we would tap into your limitless, infinite power and begin to ask in ways that we've never asked before. God, in terms of our story here at Reynoldsburg, God, you have placed before us an opportunity to impact elementary school kids. God, I'm praying that the opportunity that you are inviting us to will result in changed lives. God, we're asking in faith that you will impact kids, that you would impact parents, that you would impact teachers, that you would impact principals and nurses and guidance counselors, and that you would impact other schools, and that you would impact people in the community, and that you would impact the city council, and that you would impact the board of education, that you'll impact the mayor, that you'll impact this entire city. God, we're asking in faith because we know you can do it. We believe you can do it. And Father, we believe that you can work through us to do some powerful things. God, we're asking in faith. Right now, God, there's some folks in here that's hurting so bad, so deeply inside of them. They are broken. They haven't shared it with anyone. They're ashamed to share it. They're afraid to share it. God, I'm asking in faith right now that you would mend that heart, mend that broken heart, mend that broken spirit, that you would invade their space and do something powerful and special and do something amazing and transform their lives right now. God, we're asking that in faith. Right now, there is someone in here that's just feeling weak. They just need you. They can hardly stand there. They do a good job of pretending that everything is okay, but God is not okay. And God, I'm praying right now that you will make it okay, that you will fix them, strengthen them, give them your spirit, God. God, we're asking in faith that this church, in spite of our size, in spite of our lack of resources or even abundance of resources, Father, that we would be the missional community, the movement that you have called us to be. Father, we pray for transformation of ourselves. We pray for transformation in this church. We pray for transformation in this community. And God, where we don't know what to do, where we lack wisdom, God, we pray for that wisdom. Overwhelm us right now in your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Encourage you to spend time daily this week in prayer. Encourage you to continue praying for the person that you took last week. Next week, we will probe again the imagination as we've done. It's time to imagine. We'll do that. And then the following week, it's my hope and prayer to present to you in a visible way a prayer team that will, along with the shepherds of this body, lead us to be a church that's saturated in prayer. Is that all right, church? Is that okay? Praise team, if you want to come up, we're going to sing an invitation song. And if there's something that the church can do for you, praying for you, reading scripture, studying scripture with you, giving you a hug and touching you, or doing something that will bring you some encouragement, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, you can also do that, and we will administer the ministry of baptism to you. If there's something we can do for you, ask some of the shepherds to come forward. Let's stand and let's sing.